Good morning, everybody. We wait for 1 or 2 minutes, and I thank you for playing, and then you look, and, oh, there's another 2 minutes, and I'm not coming, and then we do this. Good morning. I'm Mary Kramer, and most of you know that Pastor's on vacation, and he will be coming back. He has his 2 weeks, and so we're going to worship, and we're going to show him that we can do this, okay? I really appreciate haven't we just had some beautiful weather? Thank you, Lord. But with that beautiful weather comes the bugs. And I was just shocked at how many bugs. I don't live on the lake. So my compassion to all of you that have to deal with bugs on the lake. I had my kids here, and we had the doors opened a lot during the night. We were doing a fire. And I don't know, the bugs decided to take up residence in my home. So I appreciate all of you who have to deal with that more frequently. There's a few announcements this morning. Our choir is going to change the time that they meet, and it's going to be 5:30 on Wednesday at 6 p.m. P.m. What did I say? Oh, we're in trouble already. Okay. 5:30 and not 6. Okay, so you all show up. You all better show up now because you know the time. Then, please make note of Judy Wario's new phone number, and I am not even going to read it. You have to figure that out yourself. Next Sunday, our prayer and praise team, our praise team, is going to lead a worship service, and it's going to be outside. We normally meet over. When you come in and park, you'll just see where we all are outside. It says you need to bring your chair. And we'll hope that the weather will accommodate this. You can go ahead and read the rest of the announcements. I also have one that I'd like to share that's not on this. I've been privileged to work with some ladies down at the Mille Lacs Museum. And these fine ladies have an idea that they want to do a quilt that will honor Isle turning 100 years old. And they did it because they opened up some tubs in the museum and found these old quilts from 1939. They were made by the East Side Mothers Club on our side of the lake. And if you had relatives around here at that time, this quilt is going to be displayed at the museum, and all those signatures have been identified in there in a little notebook with the square where you're going to find it. So if you have family or know of anyone that was around here in those days, it's really fun to go and see these real signatures. So that sparked the idea. Let's do a quilt with signatures of people who are in the neighborhood honoring the 100 years. So next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing these muslin quilt squares. And all you need to do if you want to is sign them. And you'll be included. There are 30 squares in this quilt, and we're canvassing this whole side of the lake, Isle and Waukon. And what's so cool about this is that her name is Donna Johnson. She had the idea. She's going to embroider every single one of your signatures. We have to support this lady. So when I'll have it here during coffee and for 2 weeks. So if you want to get your signature on it, do it. Okay? Any other announcements? Well, then let's begin our service. And we just thank you, Lord, for the time that we're going to have together this morning. And we will begin with singing hymn 818, O Master, Let Me Walk With You.
Thank you.
please refer to your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We admit our need for life. God of life, we need your life. We trade our lives for a cheap imitation, which leaves us empty and wanting. We reject the life you offer in favor of our own manufactured pleasures. We sell out to the wonders of this world and wonder why our life is empty. God of life, forgive the sins of our lifelessness and bring us to yourself again. We hear the word of life. Our God is life, the creator of all life, the sustainer of all life, and the giver of life eternal. Real life is found in trusting God for everything. God gave the life of Jesus, who took our place on the cross of death in order that we might live. Jesus conquered death and offers eternal life to each of us who trust him. Praise God for the possibility of new life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us do the prayer of the day. Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as the choir has their opportunity to sing. The first reading comes from Colossians 3. Life in Christ includes a radical reorientation of our values. Just as the newly baptized shed their old clothes in order to put on new garments, so Christians are called to let go of greed and take hold of life shaped by God's love in Christ. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old life with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The psalm is Psalm 49. You will respond in the bold print, and you will see the bold R. You say the refrain, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom." Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world.
You are the beginning of all, the position forever.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who trust in their own prowess and boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
The ransom of life is so great that there will never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the adults assume that they perish, and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they have named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts that perish. My mouth shall speak of wisdom.
Here ends the reading. Will you rise for the reading of the gospel?
Today's gospel is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. In God's reign, the rich will be sent away. Jesus uses a parable to warn against identifying the worth of one's life with the value of one's possessions, rather than one's relationship with God. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Please be seated, and we will sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 810.
Good morning. Just to let you know, last night Mike left his sermon. It's pretty good. I read through it. That was nice of him to do that. Well, I really thank you for this blessing and this opportunity to do this service. When you read through the lessons for this week, they're pretty sobering. The focus isn't all about feeling good. The message is about shape up. Now, referring to our very first reading from Colossians, goes like this. Put to death whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which is really idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. Okay. It's pretty clear I don't measure up. And now I know why Pastor timed his vacation so he wouldn't have to preach on these lessons. So anyway, in today's scriptures, we are taught that a life in Christ includes a very radical reorientation of our values. And Jesus uses a parable. And this story warns us against valuing our worth by how many possessions we can accumulate, how many big barns or pole buildings we need to build to keep our treasures together. Instead, we are to value a life shaped by God's love in Christ. So I thought on this, and I thought, well, now a life shaped by God's love in Christ implies that there would be a life of honor. And honor, I've heard it spoken in my life for a long time, and I really looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. And the very first meaning in that dictionary was worship. And I said, this fits pretty good for this sermon. Think about this. A life of worship. A life that is so directly in tune with Christ that we yearn to live a life that is honorable. Additional meanings for honor include high respect, hold in high public esteem, a good reputation, merit, a courteous respect for, and a fine sense of one's obligations to each other. What do you honor? Our lives have been influenced by who and by what we've chosen to honor. Our lifestyle and our identity are shaped by this. Now, maybe you've heard a phrase called the code of honor. This came back to me, and I remembered when I was a kid watching a movie about the Three Musketeers, and they all got together and they sat down and they wrote their code of honor. King Arthur's court, same thing. So I thought about this code of honor, and this implies a certain way to act and how to relate to one another. And how do you act? With respect and favorability. So, let's go back to this. Have you ever thought about your code of honor? What do you stand for? Sometimes it might be easier to look at family and friends when I mention this and identify, well, I know what their code of honor is and I know what they value. How do you arrive at this evaluation? You look at what there is. You look at what people say. You look at what they do. You look at their lives, and it's not about being judgmental, not in that way, but we send a message by every day what we say we do and how we treat each other. It's really not that complicated. Let's try something. I'm going to state a name, and I want anybody in the congregation to call out what you think. What do you think about this person and what this name? This isn't going to be that scary. What I want you to do is only use one or two words to describe them. What comes to your mind? What's the first thing that comes in your mind? Because I thought of this idea. I'm going to do the first one. I'm going to keep them pretty safe. First one, I thought about that. I'm going to do Billy Graham. He's a televangelist, right? Okay. Joe Mauer. You have to say it loud enough so it makes it on this mic so people are going to hear you. Phil Mickelson. Golfer. Now let's go back into history. Rosa Parks.
Pioneer.
Pioneer. Civil rights. This is one. President Lincoln.
Honest.
Honest Abe. We've heard that a lot. Do you see how clarity emerges? Do you see how you think of a person and how they behave, how they treat each other and what they stand for, how that just emerges and pops? Okay. So what I want you to do, it's a word association idea here I did with famous people. I want you to just think about this. People are very multifaceted. Many, many different traits and qualities make us up. Many. But I want you to go home today, and I want you to think about, on your personal, quiet space in your time, in your afternoon, is just think about, what's your code of honor? What would people say about you? Be really kind, because this is about high esteem, respect. Who are you? Does it fit into God's plan? Are you possibly hung up on your possessions, your lack of possessions?
poor health, anger, or even depression. You see, having possessions in itself is not the problem. It's what your relationship is with your stuff that gets edgy and can mess you up. I know that we're encouraged in today's lesson to put to death whatever is earthly. This isn't easy to do. I like my stuff. I like getting more stuff. I eat too much. I'm into abundance. It's a very convicting lesson for me. There's a book that's called The Material World, A Global Family Portrait. Now, in this book, photographers traveled all over the world. They went to 30 different countries. And they asked average families in those countries to put all their belongings outside in front of their house. And then they took photos and documented what was found. And that's what's in this book. Now, in some countries, this took almost no space at all. In North America, the average family's belongings filled an entire cul-de-sac. We in the developed world live amidst abundance. Compared to people of many nations, we have so much stuff. Yet most of us covet more. And this we are following the urgings of our culture. It's about being more comfortable, expressing ourselves about what we own, by what we own, to show love through giving material goods. And Jesus warns us to take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Notice how careful it is that he says, all kinds of greed. Lest any of us try to close our ears to any of this admonition. All kinds of greed. Okay, so we might be greedy for investments, greedy for possessions, greedy for a lake house, greedy for land, greedy to purchase exciting activities, greedy to pursue our hobbies or add to our collections. All of us are told to take care. Jesus hopes to direct us to a different kind of abundance. It's one that isn't stored in barns. It isn't stored in banks. He wants us instead to be rich toward God. The abundance that we should seek is an abundant life in the Spirit, an abundance of love and community. This abundance cannot be laid up for many years. Remember in the story, the rich man wanted it to be saved in his grains and his goods? No, it exists precisely in its use. The more we love, the richer we are. The more we pray, the richer our communion with God is. The more we share what we have, the more we find to share. The riches that Jesus hopes for us, it's not found in a pile of possessions in a cul-de-sac. The riches that Jesus hopes for us is a life that is shaped by God's abundant love for us. Amen. We call the ushers to come forward and help us collect our offering. Would you please stand for the prayer? Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in many ways, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's do the prayers of intercession, please. Compassionate rule and enduring love, let us lift up the needs of the church, the world, and all creation. Protect churches living under persecution, and erase the lines of country, race, and class. Ye separate us from their struggle. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
To teach us to treasure and nurture the world around us and reawaken our sense of wonder at the miracle and brevity of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Advance wisdom and diplomacy among nations that we may recognize our interdependence and work together for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give hope to those weighed down by fear and worry,
the unemployed, the
depressed or suicidal, those who are ill, in pain, or in any way overwhelmed.
We hold in our hearts for prayer Val Cannon, George Ott, Ron Hans, Deirdre Morio.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Transform us by your gifts of bath, meal, and story, that we may find riches in giving and sharing all that we have and enjoy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Set our minds on things above, and at the last, join us with our faithful departed brothers and sisters, and bring us to eternal life in Christ.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of mercy, hear the cries
of your people,
and answer. Was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the
Father.
And
he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it, and he gave it to all his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. He took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is set. All are welcome to come. Please be seated. Our ushers will direct you.